Filmcore.
Hello and welcome to a special Christmas edition of Filmcore. We are doing a sequel to the very popular Christmas Core Listmas Core from this day last year, December 23rd, 2015. I'm Alex Kirschbaum. I'm joined in Chicago by my pal Emily Schick. Hello, Emily.
Hello there. I just had to swallow my eggnog, you know, to say hello there.
Yes, yes.
So just so you can get a visual, I'm sitting here in a very fancy house and drinking eggnog with a classy lady.
There you go.
Feeling holiday spirit.
And we are joined remotely by our pal Armani Barone. Hello, Armani.
Hi, guys. I'm all alone here in New Orleans by myself. It's okay. I'm drinking water because I'm really hungover. So.
And like last year, it's all about being drunk or somewhat drunk to discuss people's favorite Christmas movies. So yeah, everyone's somewhat drunk. And so last year, I did this list with Greg Brecker, Charles Perry, and Chris Wickman. And so I have the results of those lists in front of me now. We can do some cross-referencing as we go through the lists of Emily and Armani. So
we now have a bit of a gender flip, and you're the minority now, whereas last year it was sounds like it was all dudes.
Last year, yeah. So, four bros list. A lot of
interesting.
Yeah.
Different takes.
Yeah, last year we talked a lot about like how we thought Mary Steenburgen and Michelle Pfeiffer were like really hot. That's what a lot of it devolved into, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I think she still got it, in my opinion. You know, that's just me.
This group can also agree on all three of those actresses,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with Armani kicking things off with our number five.
Oh, nice. Okay, number five. I'm going to go with a reimagined classic. Jim Carrey and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I believe that was 2000. I really liked his interpretation of it. I mean, I think it was around the same time they had the live-action Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers. I think Jim Carrey, because he's such a physical, like his comedy is based on like such physical reactions to things that he just made it really fun. I mean, who doesn't like a machine gun that shoots out Christmas lights?
That was cool. I really didn't like that movie, but I liked, it was like so good looking. It was Universal. I think they spent like $80 million on that. That movie was like a massive hit. I remember seeing that. That was like, you know, the Century Theaters here in Evanston. That was like the first movie that they showed. Its debut weekend was that weekend. So that was like November, like around Thanksgiving in 2000. I remember they had hot dogs, and that was the first time I'd had hot dogs at a movie theater. Anyway, it's a very, like, I remember watching that movie in theaters very specifically.
I watched it, I think, in bits and pieces, and then I think I saw it, like, because they played it at some, during school, like, when, you know, teachers were just like, okay, I guess we don't have anything to teach you, and it's, like, the last before Christmas, so we're going to show The Grinch. And going back to your point about it, you know, its budget, it looked expensive, and it looked, like, I just appreciated that it wasn't, you know, a Pixar, like, the way that they're churning them out now, just, like, one after another of these, like, the Pixar movies are, like, all pretty much the same because they're all, like, the animation is just so similar. And the fact that it was, like, the production and makeup was freaking tight. So, my number five, and this is the reason why, it's probably going to be, like, way further up on most people's list, but the reason why I'm using it as number five, it's Home Alone. And it's because I saw it in full as a child, like all of us pretty much, but I never like, I mean, I enjoyed it. And it was like one of those movies that you just like see because you're a 90s kid, you know, like Hook and like Lion King and like, it was just Home Alone. Okay. But like, I mean, just watching it again recently, like a few years ago, I guess several, it was pretty recent. I don't know, 5 years, and seeing it, you know, because it puts Chicago neighborhoods and Chicago suburban neighborhoods, which is where I grew up, like in this beautiful, you know, light, and you can see the neighborhoods, just how gorgeous they are and how like amazing the houses and mansions are.
Yeah, North Shore, Chicago suburbs, which North is where we are right now.
Represent. Yeah, actually, we're in a house that resembles, for all intents and purposes, the very house that Macaulay Culkin's character was in. So yeah,
that's true.
That's my number five. Home Alone. And yeah, I guess I'd have to like watch it again. I feel like such a dum-dum. I need to review because everyone just seems to like universally love it as a film. And like back when I saw it, I wasn't like critiquing the movie for how good it was when I was like six.
It definitely evokes a lot of nostalgia because like as you mentioned, like we've all seen it. Like, you know, you're an American, you've probably seen Home Alone. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's like that. I mean, the premise is pretty stupid. Like, come on.
Okay, I have like a couple quick things about The Grinch and Home Alone. I guess we'll go from Home Alone to The Grinch. So Home Alone is my number five, and it was from last year. And it was number one for Chris Whitman.
Yeah.
And it did not make the other two lists. But I think it's an awesome movie, but I was talking to Greg about this. It did not make his list, and I was a little surprised. Like, Muppet Christmas Carol made his list, but...
That's such a Greg thing.
I know. But it's not like he doesn't... But, and he's just like, yeah, bro, like...
Classic Greg. Classic.
Home Alone's, like, not... Like, it's a very simple movie, and we all agree that it was stupid and stuff, mm-hmm. but, like, Muppet Christmas Carol is not so smart. I don't know. You know?
I mean, Muppets are just great, though. Like, come on.
Did not even make my top five. Did not make my
top
five.
It's Muppets.
That one, the Muppet Christmas Carol, did not make my top five either. I actually forgot it existed.
Wow, you guys. You guys are a couple of Scrooges.
Here's the thing, though, is, again, like I kind of stated before, my family was never a huge, like, Christmas movie family. Like, I don't know how many, I mean, we watched, like, a few movies just kind of, like, there was no, like, you know, this is our Christmas movie. It was just like, okay, you know, it's Christmas, so I guess we'll rent, you know, this movie, or we'll pop on, you know, TBS because they're screening A Christmas Story for, you know,
24 hours
every day before Christmas for like a week. But it's, I mean, my family was just never like, we celebrated Christmas, but the Christmas movies were never like a huge, huge part of a tradition or something. So I honestly, like, my passions about my Christmas movies that I chose really lie in about three different movies, which we'll get into shortly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Real quick, going back to The Grinch, what do you guys think about the animated Grinch? Because doesn't really count because it's not a feature, but...
I mean, also, it's a classic standard. They didn't spend like $80 million making that animated one, so, you know, that's where the money really makes a difference for me.
It's definitely creepy in both, like, the way that the Grinch smiles slowly, it, like, will haunt my dreams forever.
Yeah.
I really liked how... Yeah, I mean, the live-action one paid a lot of tribute. It was actually really faithful to the
animation. Yeah, for sure. The animation was, like, a direct storyboard for, like, the actual movie, which is great.
But then this whole backstory about, like, how he was, like, disrespected as a kid because he's basically just a who that looks different or whatever.
Buy that?
It was just such a Tim Burton, like, thing to do.
Did you buy that? They honestly did need to try to humanize him anymore.
But the kids need to learn, like, if you tease people because they're different, they're just going to turn out to be really mean, and then...
That's true. We create these monsters, you know? Actually, my number four is Elf.
That made another list. That made someone else. That was actually Chris Wickman's number three as well.
I'm going to change number two. I just decided I'm going to switch it. Says it aloud.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, I think as a premise, it's, like, really funny. Like, I think it's an example of, like, maybe a kid who was different that tries really hard to fit in. And, you know, obviously Will Ferrell is hilarious in it as Buddy, the wannabe elf. I mean, mostly because, like, all the food he tries to eat, just, like, syrup on everything.
There are so many amazing scenes, amazing moments that he just, like, perfectly channels the character that, I mean, he's just, like, so committed to it. I love, love, love when he, like, first lands in New York, and I'm trying to remember, like, so he's going, it's just so painful to watch, like, him just, like, going, I think he, like, goes in the elevator, and he's, like, going up and, like, trying to, like, talk to people, and just, like, everything is new, and his dad's just, like, fuck is this guy, get him out of my office.
I mean, I really hated Zooey Deschanel in that movie. I mean, I don't like her in general, but...
I didn't like her in that movie.
Wow.
But I liked her. So I liked her later. Pretty much, I think, I would say New Girl was when I was like, okay, I actually like Zooey Deschanel, and also people compared me to her. So I was like, okay, I guess I have to like her if people are comparing me to her.
You don't have to like, you can be competitive or whatever.
I could. But no, I like her now. Yeah. I like her now. She's funny as hell in New Girl. Like, it's a great show. But yeah, I did not like her in Elf. I agree. I thought her character was just kind of lame.
I thought she was like, at her like, peak hotness and Elf, you know?
Meh. She's better with, like, brown hair.
Really? I heard her dye job was, that whatever that was terrible.
Yeah, I thought blonde hair this nose was super hot.
Good, no.
Wow.
The blonde was gross. Like, it just was, I don't know.
It looked great. You guys are both just wrong.
No, I think she looks much better as a brunette. I like her hair. I think it suits her better. Her face shape. in general. I think he's just better suited. No, I'm not shaming blondes at all. I'm not shaming blondes. I don't say this for
don't blonde shame.
Okay, number four for me was a movie that I saw for the first time last year and that I wrote about on FilmCore, which was called A Christmas Horror Story. And it is, I think it has like a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, so it's not a very well-liked movie. But it is, I think, so funny and stupid and just like ridiculous, and I was gonna say brilliant, and I was like, no, I shouldn't go that far. It's not really brilliant, but there's some pretty good graphics. So I'll give you the premise. Basically, there's like this, as you know, this evil monster, mythological creature called Krampus, which is like, you know, talked about in certain myths, Christmas myths, and he's like, you know, this like basically it's like a demon from the underworld who's like supposed to thwart, I don't know, he's like, doesn't he come out in the wintertime? He's like a wintry.
He's an anti-Santa that punishes bad girls and boys.
He's an anti-Santa. Well, in the movie, yes. But I don't know, if is he that in like the myths too? Isn't he?
Yeah, that's what he's in the myths. But in the movie, people can become Krampus. Like, yeah. A grandmother, there's like, yes. It's like an anthology movie. I think there are four stories, right? William Shatner sort of ties it all together,
yeah,
as a narrator.
There's about four different stories circulating throughout.
Krampus is in two of the stories.
Krampus is, yes. He's not in all of them. The one that I thought was so goofy is there's this...
Yeah, what about like the actual Krampus movie that came out like last year?
Oh, I know!
Year,
so this came out at the same in the same year.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
And it's called Krampus, and that is not what I was talking about, but there is a movie called Krampus, and there's Christmas Horror Story, which has Krampus in it, and Krampus and Santa, that really, the crowning achievement of this movie, I think, and I'll wrap it up, is that there is a scene at the very end where Krampus and Santa are literally, like, balls to the wall, like, fighting each other.
In like a horse stable, for some reason.
Yeah, in like a horse stable, and using, like...
Or a reindeer stable.
Yes, and like Santa's just this like bloody, like badass, grizzle looking, you know, guy, and like Krampus has these like chains and things he's whipping around, and Santa's just like, rah! And it's just hilarious, and I could not keep it together watching it. And yeah, there's like also like a really creepy like satanic baby story, side story thing. It's just worth watching if you're like, I don't know, into cheap horror movies and like campy kind of like combining Christmas in a way that's you would not expect. And then there's a demon child scene too, or the demon child like storyline where the little baby becomes possessed.
He's like six.
You're right. He's not a little baby.
Emily, are you the kind of person to be like, this baby's 58 months old?
He's
58 months old.
No, he's a six-year-old boy. Okay, but that actually was kind of scary to
me.
Because the child becomes, like, possessed and starts to body a demon.
The child gets abducted, and then a shapeshifter demon,
yes,
like a golem creature,
yeah,
or something, replaces him. And then
it's
he
like
gets
a little goblin that lives in the forest.
Yeah, and then he gets taken home by the parents and kills...
Yeah.
Maybe one or both of the parents. We can't
one
say.
Of them.
We don't want to spoil it. No, I know. It's one of them. But still.
We won't say who. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now we don't know which parent, though.
Who is it?
It's the dad.
The mom. Oh, well. Still watch A Christmas Horror Story, guys. It's worth it.
William Shatner's in it.
William Shatner's in it.
It's Canadian. It's a Canadian movie.
It is very Canadian. Yes.
Because Santa's elves get possessed. They get like a zombie disease. And it affects the entire roster. Santa's
There's so God, there's so many
fight them all
so
to the death.
Goofy stories in Christmas Horror Story.
Yeah.
Okay, it's really worth watching.
It's
guys,
pretty great.
If you haven't seen it,
zombie elves, Santa versus zombie elves.
Zombie elves who are like cussing up a storm too. It's hilarious.
They're like rabid zombie elves.
Like fuck you, Santa. They really do say that at one point. I think it's a line.
I mean, they try to like eat his face. Yeah, it's pretty violent.
You fat fuck.
Yeah. My number four was Batman Returns.
That was actually my number three, but I switched it with another movie. But continue.
Oh, so it's off the table for you, huh?
Yeah, it was on my table, and then I was like, I gotta take it off the table.
So it was number three on the table, and then you're like, nope, it's number six now. Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good because it makes the list more different, so that's good. We've got a lot of Christmas recommendations between last year's list and this year's list. Batman Returns was also on one other list. It was on Greg's list last year at number three. So, all right, let's see. And, okay, so Armani, you're up number three, actually, speaking of number three.
Number three is actually, that's the one that replaced Batman Returns for me, was The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen.
With the E.
Just the premise that if you kill Santa, you have to become Santa. It's just so insane that that's like, it's awesome. I love Christmas movies where like someone kind of starts off as like, kind of like a Grinch, and they have to like really embrace the Christmas spirit, you know? I also love movies about like old people who get like new job training, you know? Like, I love The Intern. So, like, I really love that Tim Allen was, like, you know, learning the ropes.
Very Dickensian.
Yeah, I never wanted hot cocoa more in my life than, like, after watching that movie.
Which was probably, like, code for Adderall. Just, like, you know, keep working.
I mean, maybe, right? Like, how does he stay up for, like, whatever, 36 hours, like, as he does all the delivery?
Obviously drugs.
Some kind of uppers or, like, speed or whatever. But, yeah, Santa Claus 1 is solid. Santa Claus 2... The Mrs. Claus, I think, right?
I think it's
all right. Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, though. That's a jam right there.
There were so many of these Santa Claus movies. I don't think I ever saw them, to be honest.
Really?
I think I just, like, for some reason.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Tim Allen just, like, wasn't really that big of a part of my childhood. Even though he was for, like, everybody else. I don't know why. There were just so many things he was in. I think that, like... My parents didn't want to show me because they thought I was really stupid. So they just didn't show it to me because they thought I'd become more stupid.
I mean,
but
I'm not.
I don't know if it's a stupid movie. I never saw it, so I couldn't say. I think it was just their judgment.
No, I mean, I thought it was like, you know, like it was cute. I don't know, heartwarming, as they say. I don't know. It was solid. It was, you know, I think that like a lot of people I know don't like Christmas. So I feel like as it gets closer to like actual Christmas and be like, you know what, actually I don't hate it. I'm just being dramatic.
If I see like Christmas decorations going up like November 3rd or something, I'm like, please God, no. No. And then, you know, by about December 10th, but like when I ride the Christmas train, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm Holy Spirit now. So true. So true.
For our listeners, that sound right now is the sound of me pouring more wine.
I don't know if you guys heard, there was also another trickling sound earlier. I poured some more rum into my eggnog because, you know,
we're
getting lit.
In terms of Santa Claus, Tim Allen Santa Claus doing uppers, it's pretty funny that we talk about that because Tim Allen, I don't know if you guys know this.
I think I do know this.
Was in jail for 3 years for smuggling coke across state lines. Or was it trying to, like, smuggle it into the airport? I forget. But yeah, he was like a major coke dealer.
Oh,
and the only reason his sentence wasn't longer was because he like ratted out his friend who got like sideburns.
Oh.
He was on coke.
Oh my God.
Tim Allen Santa would be on coke probably to stay up that long.
Wow.
So think about that next time you watch Santa Claus. He's supposedly sober now and has been sober for like 35 years. But
I don't think he's been in a movie for about 35
years.
Supposedly.
Yeah, he's on a show.
Oh.
Ooh, what is the show? I don't know. It's some like manly name show where it's like really it's a fucking stupid name. I think it's called Last Man Standing.
Oh.
Yes, it is. And Tim Allen is he's a Republican. I don't know if he's a Trump Republican.
See,
he might
now
be.
I see that I didn't see. I don't feel.
Maybe I should take that movie off my list now.
Now hold on though. Trump is in Home Alone 2: Lost in New York, and it doesn't. I mean, I'm going to skip that scene next time. He's in Little Rascals?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He's in...
I've seen the movie for like 10 years.
Though. Yeah. He is the rich kid who's trying to like thwart the... Remember there's that kid who's like trying to steal Alfalfa's girlfriend?
Yeah, the little guy.
Well, his dad is fucking Trump.
Trump
is
his dad.
Sitting there during the race. You know, there's like the race with all the little cars. Mm-hmm. Like they put their little makeshift cars together.
Yeah.
And the rich kid has his fancy car. And Donald Trump is his dad and is sitting there in the like stands on a, like a goofy ass huge cell phone at the time. It was like 1995. So it was like, you know.
94.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're actually playing like yourself in this movie.
That means the kid was Eric Trump then.
Yeah, basically.
Well, let's just say like how lame kid Eric Trump is if like with all the money in the world, a girl still chooses someone else over you.
Yeah, if only we lived in that little world.
Yeah, if only
if only that turned out. Anyways, let's not get too bogged down by that depressing thing. So my number three.
Yes, good.
Like I just said, I switched my number two to my number or my number three spot to my number two. I don't feel bad about that. My number three is Love Actually. And I have no shame about that, even though it's gotten so much shit.
Love Actually above Home Alone?
Yes.
What?
Okay, I just explained, I like haven't even seen Home Alone in like 15 years. So Love Actually is about many things. It's got a lot of British actors. It's got
Alan Rickman,
Emma Thompson. It's, you know, it's got a lot of shit over the years for being, like, okay, for example, that scene where he's showing the cards, like, and pursuing her relentlessly, even though she's in, like, you know, committed relationship. Like,
wait, isn't her husband Chiwetel Ejiofor?
I think so.
So it's got Chiwetel Ejiofor, Rick from Walking Dead, and Keira Knightley in, like, one little segment. Yes. That'd be a whole movie today. Those actors are huge.
Yeah, I mean, they're crazy. It's really good cast. It's a phenomenal cast.
Martin Freeman, The Hobbit, is in, like, a scene as a porn actor.
Hugh Grant? Yes, Hugh Grant's in it.
He's the Prime Minister.
That's very implausible, but whatever. But yeah, that scene where, like...
No, it's not. Nothing is impossible.
I guess nothing's impossible anymore. You're right.
Brexit, Trump, nothing is impossible.
Anyway, but that scene with the cards where he's showing them to her, people have been like, that's actually really creepy, and like encourages guys to, you know, continue to pursue women that like
their best friends are married to.
Their best friends are married to, and it's like, you know, blah blah blah. And like, yeah, okay, I get that. I still love the movie because it's got an amazing, like, just so many different stories that like intertwine really in really cool ways, and like the characters. You know, the director makes a point of like tying all of the movies, all the stories together, so that, you know, like Hugh Grant, like, I don't know, it's like, I forget exactly, like, Alan Rickman is cheating on Emma Thompson with this, like, woman at work.
With his coworker, underling.
And her performance in that is remarkable, and there's, like, an amazing
song. Cheating on Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson is who I'm talking about. There's a Joni Mitchell song that plays both sides now, and Joni Mitchell is singing it in, like, a contralto voice when she used to sing it, and like a beautiful, you know, like her little bird voice when she was young, and then it's like after decades and she's singing like both sides now, like she's actually been through all of the things that she's talking about in the song, and it's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And like the acting and the song combined is like, oh my god, it's an amazing scene. And then just like all little characters, I'm forgetting exactly how they're all intertwined, but I know, like, I think because there's a big, like, show at the end, like a talent show, and this little boy is confessing his love to a girl who's a little older than him, and I think, like, multiple people are trying to get to the show who are in the movie. So, like, it ends up culminating in, like, the victory, the ultimate, like, victory, like, the really sweet story is the little boy, like, you know, winning the heart of this girl, and that's when, like, All I Want for Christmas Is You is playing. Can I say one
the
line?
Girl really? That Alan Rickman's cheating on his wife with, she lives next door to the girl who's, like, the secretary that Hugh Grant falls in love with.
Yes. Who's, like, and they, you know, she's the chubby girl or whatever. But, yeah, I think my favorite, like, line is Emma Thompson. She goes, Alan Rickman says, I'm such a fool when he gets caught for cheating. And then Emma Thompson says, yes, she made a fool of me, too. And it's, like, so sad. It's so sad. Oh, that's the thing about Love Actually, is like it gets a lot of shit for being this, like, you know, like an impractical love story. But there are some sad stories. Like they're not everything has a happy ending in it. And like, you know, things just kind of like resolve. Like I guess they become, you know, I think they get divorced, but they just are like, you know, okay, well, that's over. Like, yeah, it's not all like sunny the entire time. It's a good movie. I stand by my decision completely.
All right, let's move right along. All right, Armani's number two.
Did you do yours?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, we didn't even talk about it.
It's an inspirational Christmas movie. It's always on TV every year now. It's just on NBC, but back in the day, it used to be on every channel because the rights lapsed. So, like, everybody would just play that movie. It's a sad movie. It's not as uplifting. Well, I mean, it is uplifting, but it's because it takes a downward slide. Because, you know, at one point, James Stewart is, like, going to jump into a freezing river and kill himself. His bank is going under, and he's just, like, unhappy with the way his life has turned out. But then, you know, Clarence, the magical angel, shows him what life would be like without him.
My number two is actually Gremlins. Classic. I mean, clearly, I mean, it's Christmas, obviously, because he gets the Mogwai as a Christmas gift. And, yeah, I mean, Gremlins is fucking awesome. Like, that's just it. Like, they carol in the movie, and they just cause general mischief, and it's just awesome.
They have the great song to open the movie when they have, like after the pre-credit sequence, when it opens with the title Gremlins, and they have... Yeah, it's called Christmas Baby, Please Come Home is the name of the song. It's a great song. It's a fucking great movie.
My number two was Elf, because I just moved it up. I was like, oh, it was my number three, and now it's my number two. I also, I don't want to talk about Elf too much, because we already did, but can I just share a couple quotes that I think are some of the, or some of the lines that I think are, like, my favorite, that are so funny.
Yeah.
I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! That's a really good one. You sit on a throne of lies!
That was good.
That was a good one.
Oh my god.
When he keeps calling Peter Dinklage a dwarf.
Oh yeah, he calls him an elf. There's a real elf.
He asks him something about how long it took him to get there from the North Pole.
Yeah. I'm like, doesn't Santa need you to be there? I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite. Will Ferrell's brilliant. Like, he is so fucking perfect in that movie. I also like, the end is really kind of cheesy because it's like, remember, like, they have a big, like, the whole sleigh, and they're, like, trying to, like, the sleigh is breaking down, right? And then it crashes in Central Park. Remember?
Yeah. And, like, Ed Asner is Santa Claus.
Well, like, the guy who's, it's another Dickensian element, because the guy who plays the dad has to come, he has to, like, get his Christmas spirit, like, back, so that once he feels the Christmas spirit, then the sleigh works again.
The sleigh is powered by Christmas
spirit.
And New York has lost Christmas spirit. It's not just James
Caan.
James Caan needs help.
And it's like, once he then has that, like, transformative moment for some, you know, it's like, then that's when the sleigh starts working again and everyone gets their presents. So.
And Ed Asner does play Santa Claus in that movie, and yes, he is still alive, for those wondering.
I wasn't really wondering, but okay.
Well, Santa Claus from Elf is still alive. Ed Asner, famous TV actor.
Okay, Alex, what's your number two?
My number two was Die Hard, which Emily also hasn't seen.
Stop calling me out, bro.
I can't believe you've gone through 27 years of life and you haven't experienced Die Hard.
No, there's a lot of things.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna be honest right now. I don't want Emily to suffer alone.
Oh,
I've also never seen Die Hard.
Oh,
hey.
Is this like something that girls don't experience or something? Like,
and I love movies in that genre.
Die
too. I don't know why
Die
I haven't
Hard.
Seen it.
You should be, because it's amazing.
It's called Die Hard.
Yeah, it's one of the great Christmas movies. It was not just on my list. Oh no, wait, fuck. No, okay, it was on two lists. It was on my list, number two, and then it was on Charles Perry's list, number five. But it was left off of Greg's list, to my utter shock, and it was left off Chris Whitman's list. Chris Whitman hadn't seen Die Hard until he was older, which is also shocking me. I was just like, I grew up with that movie, but it's, I think, objectively an amazing movie that if you watched right now, it'd be hilarious. Like, it's, you know, like, speaking of cocaine, there's a cocaine scene in there. So that's pretty festive. It's L.A. Christmas. There's a great Run DMC song. Bruce Willis kicks ass and takes names as a blue collar hero, standing up to German. Germans that might be terrorists and might be something a little simpler than terrorists. But I guess I'll leave it to you guys to figure that out once you watch it, which you will.
Okay, I will.
All right, now we're at number one.
Yes.
All right, Armani, your number one is, I'm assuming, Die Hard 2, Die Harder, which I'm sure you've seen.
No, my number one is actually Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I mean, it's appropriate for two times of year, which is awesome. It's also a Halloween movie in some aspects.
Plus Easter.
Plus Easter. He does, you know, look at the St. Patrick's Day door, so maybe even St. Patrick's Day, briefly. I mean, as a musical, it just, like, it's awesome. It's just great. The sound, the score, amazing. Like, just... Yeah, beautiful. And also, I like the theme that, you know, like, sometimes you just gotta embrace who you are, you know? And also, try something new.
Sorry, I just have to go over it. Alex just abbreviated spooky skeletons to spookeletons.
Had a decent amount of this wine.
Okay, go on.
It was
go
an
on.
Accidental abbreviation.
No,
it's just, I don't know, like, I liked it because the theme is, like, you know, try something new, like, re-inspire your love for something you're actually, like, I don't know. Basically, like, it felt like when Michael Jordan, like, once played baseball, and we're just like, please go back to just playing basketball, and then he did, and we're like, okay, thank you.
That's, like, a perfect comparison, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane, bro. Yeah.
Emily, what's your number one?
What's my number one? My number one is A Christmas Story.
Oh, wow.
It does get overplayed and whatever, but I think just, like, across the board, it has all the elements of, I think, like, a good movie in it. It's funny. And again, like, yeah, all the scenes have been, like, played so many times. It's like they're not as, like, exciting anymore. But for, like, seeing it, you know, not that many times, if you were to see it for the first time, I just think it's, you know, it's very much like a look into, yeah, it's like a look into the past. It's a look into an American past. It's about family. It's about the community at the time. There's just, like, other themes that come in. And also, like, there's so much, like, talk about, like, stress in the movie, which you wouldn't really, it makes it kind of, like, this a little bit of a darker Christmas movie, you know? Like, for example, that scene where he's going, he's in the holiday, like, at the top of the slide, right? And he's going to go down. And, like, the Santa's, like, this really horrifying, like, you know, like, just depressing, like, mall Santa. And he's like, come on, kid! And, like, it's just this, like, it just feels, like, dark, you know? And, like, not as, like, everything's, like, it's more honest, I think. It's more of an honest portrayal of, like, how America commercializes Christmas. And then also, I mean, there's, like, the leg lamp, the dad, like, having this, like, meltdown over the lamp being smashed because the wife is jealous. And then also at the very end, like, nothing turns out the way the family really expected it to, where they really wanted. So everyone's kind of like, oh, it's, you know, it's kind of ruined, but they just end up going and having, like, a dinner out at a Chinese restaurant and, like, getting, you know, duck. And it's, like, it's a very, again, like, unexpected ending. And it just kind of reminds me, too, of, like, I've had some stressful Christmases with my family where, like, things didn't go right. And it just take, I think, like, this movie helps to take the pressure off of, like, your Christmas doesn't have to be perfect or, like, look like everybody else's or, you know, go according to plan. It can still be magical if you have, like, your family around you and people you care about and, like, you can resolve conflict in healthy ways. And also, scary mall Santas are scary.
I just really like the Ovaltine scene, like, where he's, like, you know, really wants to get all that Ovaltine so he can, like, have that ring. And, like, finally gets to that radio to, like, fucking decode that message. And it was just, like, drink more Ovaltine. Like, come on.
So many statements in that movie about, like, you know, commercialized culture. And it's cool. I think it's funny and it's timeless, even though it is very much, like, you know, about a specific time in American history in, you know, the 50s. And, yeah, it's great. I love it. And I could watch it many, many times. And, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Necessarily, we'll have to watch it again this year since I've seen it like 12 million times. But there's a reason why it's played. It's a classic. You know, there's a reason why it's played so much. So
it's probably in theaters.
Yeah, Alex.
Right now.
Probably somewhere. Alex, what's your number one?
Gremlins, obviously. Gremlins is the best. It's 4:15 here. It's 4:15, by the way, we're all very drunk.
I should get going so I can get my holiday shopping done because. Payday was today, and...
Oh my god, I have to go today, too, to Holiday Shop, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Amazon! It's 2016!
Whatever. No,
I want to, like, wrap
up. I ordered all my Amazon, like, last week. I feel great. Like, no pressure. Although, actually, I usually really enjoy going to Barnes & Noble, like, tomorrow, you know, the 24th, and, like, doing it then. So, I kind of envy you guys, because, like,
I mean,
pressure begets great gifts sometimes.
Some good books for people.
It's true.
You know what? Christmas movies never talk about, like, the gift-giving process, I feel like. I mean, the gift-getting process, of course.
Yes.
All the kids are all in on their gifts. But, like, I want a movie that talks about, like, how important it is, you know, to get a nice book for somebody or whatever. Because, like, that shit takes real thought. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But, like, what about the whole movies, like, where it's, like, they, like, always, like, they trade in something that they love to get a gift for someone else to fit their gift, but everyone's, like, traded that one thing that they, like, give, you know what I mean? Oh, my God, Emily's looking at me so crazy. No, okay, so, like, okay, like, imagine, like, Emily had a horse, and, like, I was, like, oh, I should get her a saddle, and I had a car but no tires, and Emily's, like, I'm gonna sell this horse to get her tires, but then I sell my car to get her the saddle, so then we're just, like, fuck, now we got a saddle and a horse and tires, and, like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, Marty McFly getting Doc some more plutonium, but he destroyed the DeLorean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, did everyone talk about their number one?
Yep. Just to sum up, just to do a quick recap here of this year's list, Armani's top five is Nightmare Before Christmas, number one, Gremlins, number two, The Santa Claus, the first one, 1994 with Tim Allen, number three, Elf, number 4, 2003. And then How the Grinch Stole Christmas, number 5. The Jim Carrey one from 2000, not the Boris Karloff one from 1966. And then Emily's top 5 is A Christmas Story, number 1, 1983. Elf, and number 2. Love Actually, number 3. Christmas Horror Story, at number 4. And Home Alone, number 5. So overlap, we have Elf. And that's it, actually, right? And then, and like the new entries this year, we have Nightmare Before Christmas for the first time. We have Christmas Horror Story for the first time, Love Actually for the first time, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas for the first time, yeah, and Santa Claus for the first time. So a lot of new entries on this year's Christmas Core Listmas Core. So.
You made it.
Yep.
It perfectly.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, guys.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, and a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Or Happy Hanukkah / Kwanzaa for all those other non-Christmas celebrators. That's also cool.
Yeah.
All right. And I'll see you guys in 2017.
Yeah, we'll talk about our favorite New Year's Eve movies. I don't know.
That'd be a little.
There's not a lot of those, really. It's just like Harry Met Sally and then the movie New Year's Eve, directed by Gary Marshall. Rest in peace.
Alrighty. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Just ramble.
Bye. Film Core.